the people, and power to the gang, power to Port Adelaide, where we give our name, and Albert and sons and daughters, and the South Australian.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil, and the Fox, as we continue to discuss one of the defining seasons in Port Adelaide's history, 1990. G'day, boys. How are we going?
Hello, hello.
Oh, yeah. Could be better.
Had a bit of a bad weekend.
It's a bit average, actually. Feeling a bit glum.
It wasn't much fun, was it?
No, as I was saying to you boys before, it was possibly one of the worst sort of performances I can remember seeing. It was absolute tripe.
It was just boring as well. Like, you know.
Can you actually remember us playing a few minutes of scintillating football or even a few passages of awesome football? Because I can't remember it for weeks.
Round the first bloody quarter against the Hawks.
Yeah, that's right.
I reckon that's been the only time this season that we've been massively impressive, to be honest.
Well, I'd actually say, and this comes at a loss, but our game against Frio, like, we were playing against a team that was ultra defensive, and we were able to play a different style, but we actually played pretty good football for most of that game against a team that's now 8-0. Yeah, so, like, yeah, but, like, when you're talking about impressive games of football and passages of play, we actually played some pretty good football for three quarters.
But were you impressed during that game, or are you impressed now in reflection? Because during that game, I'll just be honest.
Yeah, I probably would in reflection, because I watched the game, a bit of the game today, because I've got it on my IQ. But, yeah, I just looked at it and went, oh, we actually didn't play as bad as what we're playing right now, that's for sure.
You take that for now, but back then, I was shattered. I was shattered. But no, it was a terrible game to watch. And I think the disappointing point for me, during that last 10, we were down by about 19 points, and I looked at my mate and just said, there's still 15 minutes to go. It's like, we've got no chance. And you look at last season, if we were in that sort of position, you would have thought, we'll give it a crack. We're a strong chance. We're not going to spin our goal. It's amazing, there's nothing they play.
What happened to their fitness? Like, you know, we were smashing size in that last quarter last year, and now we're just average as. Like, you go into a last quarter and think, oh, well, what they say, we've only won like one third quarter and no fourth quarters or something.
We've won two third quarters now, because we against Richmond, we won 1-0-4 to zip. Didn't really make much in the end.
And you know, like, all the talk about bad kicking and that, it's like, we'll have a look where they're kicking the ball from. I mean, there's shots like Shorts and Wingard, which are just inexcusable, but so often you just see it's like, and this is doing my head in, is kicking deep into the pockets. It's like, far out. I sit there and watch it from the stand and think, you guys are AFL footballers, surely you know that's low percentage play, you know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
Did anyone lose sleep over the game, or was that just me?
I went to sleep a bit foul and then woke up sort of just as foul.
Yeah. I did the same thing the week before, fell asleep, then woke up during the night. Well, the night before, I had a dream that we lost to Carlton, which is almost plausible. I had a dream that we went into extra time for a quarter, and then we ended up losing by 7 points. And then I woke up, that was a terrible dream that didn't really make sense because there's no extra time. But then we got done by Richmond. And I wasn't happy. And I've got my $100 on my sports bet account that I have at the start of the season. And I pretty much chucked $20 on a game. And I'm almost out. And it's around the eight.
Did Stephen Tree appear in your dream?
No. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
What about Mick with his slightly askew moustache?
He's Gonski. Anyway, so what are your thoughts on the game, young Alistair?
Well, I was just pretty disappointed. Like, from the first quarter, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is... It's like deja vu. We're just playing poor. And you know how last year we'd feel like, yep, we could maybe have a bit of a poor start, but we'd run them over in the second half. There was no, how can I put it? There was no like thought of that occurring because we haven't been able to produce that during the season. And so I had, once we started to get down, and especially at halftime, I was like, stick a fork in us, we're done. And I haven't felt that way at all during this season, but they have constantly disappointed me in regards to their second halves, that I had no faith in them coming back. So yeah, I was pretty disappointed. And then the third quarter, we had the play, we had it, but we were going wide to the wings, putting it in poor spots, kicking it to three on ones. It was just really, really poor. And I was, thoroughly disappointed by it, in fact. And so, I just couldn't really, I couldn't see any way that we're going to get out of this. We've just got to, but the thing is we can't pull guys off the field. Like, we can't sit there and make five changes. We've got two changes this week. You can see that in Kenny's history, he backs his players in and lets them, like, ride their form out. But, I just can't see the people that I would like drop is like Hammer, but he gets 21 touches, 5 tackles or whatever, but he adds no value to the team. He's kicking at 25%, for God's sake. I'm just really frustrated by the game, and we're going to have to work our way out of it, and that's by playing hard, fast football and the way we play, and don't let people dictate terms.
I think the thing that frustrated me the most was the lack of response, because, you know, you look at the West Coast game, that was a bad loss, but, you know, in context, they're playing some pretty decent footy. The loss to Brisbane was disgraceful, and you know, I thought there was going to be a reaction that Port were going to come out and say, no, you know, this isn't the style of footy we're going to play, and come back and get a decent win. I really believed we would, and it just, the whole game, we didn't look like we were in it at all. There wasn't one point during that game where I thought, yeah, we've got a shot here. Maybe at the start of the game, after that.
Even Troy Chapman looked solid.
How funny was it when he was... How funny was it when he missed that? He went forward and just like shanked the ball. There was a couple of times he did that, which just made me chuckle. It was only a few things that I could get a little bit of joy out of. But yeah, I just found that the boys were a bit soft and mentally weak on the weekend, especially when Jacko got pushed by that Muppet Grimes and nobody flew the flag. So yeah, that was pretty disappointing as well.
It reminds me back of the, remember when Carlos said, we're turning it around now, we're going to not take our phones training, we're putting them in a bin, you know, so they're not with us at training. That's like, what? Like, and that's the sort of crap that sort of is coming out in the media now, like, you know, from the players, just all this crap from the players during the week and in the media. I was just like, don't want to hear it. Start playing good football and winning games. Like, none of the excuses and, you know, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. Because, to be honest with you, this week was just about as bad as last week, and nothing has changed at all. You know?
Where do we sit now, guys? Do you reckon? Can we?
It's 13th. You know, to me, I don't think so. I think, you know, top four's gone.
Okay, that was obviously, hopefully, one of your sound effects.
Season out. Yeah, I think it was. Nick, I don't agree that our season's down the toilet. We've still got 14 games to go, and there's plenty of more football to be played. We're playing poorly now, but I think
history has shown, Alistair, that if you don't finish top four, you're making up the numbers. So, you know, the reality is that the chance of winning a flag from here is incredibly slim. So. What's the rest of the season like? It's a wasted year. Like, you know, if you finish fifth or sixth, you know, what good is that? You know, or yeah, I don't know. I'm quite disillusioned with the with where we're at right now, to be honest. But still hopeful that we'll turn around. But I don't know. It's the first time I've seen some chinks in Kenny's armour. Like the selection of Sam Gray, I mean, come on. I saw him on the 50-metre arc there on the southern eastern flank. And he, I forget who it was that he tackled. He literally jumped on the guy's back and the guy just jumped, like brushed him off and when he kicked the ball and Sam Gray fell on his ass. It's like, dude, it's like boys playing men when you select him, you know?
You know, one thing though, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I reckon Brisbane in 2001 were about 4-6 after 10 rounds and they came back and won the grand final. I could be completely wrong. Should check that before I make the comment, shouldn't I?
And the other thing that frustrates me, I suppose, is that I see where GWS are and they're just creating an absolute dynasty now. Like, if they don't have a strong finish to the year, you know, they may run out of legs, but it'll be next year. And I just feel that, like, last year and this year, these were the years that we really had to cash in, because next year I think that GWS are just going to be smashing everyone with those outrageous concessions that they had. And to what, and you know, like, yeah, Kane's gone, but what our forward line, it's questionable. We've got some fantastic talent that rotates through there, like Wingard and Gray. But, well, everyone else, oh, Monfries has probably been playing pretty well there, but
yeah,
he's, what, 26, 27 now. Schultz is very much in the twilight of his career. Hoff's playing like absolute poo. What does our forward line look like in the next couple of years? It looks a bit grim to me.
It's just that look. I don't think our forward line looks terrible on paper at the moment. It's just not functioning. Like, you know, even if you look at Robbie Gray, I think McDermott had an article like, you know, about chucking forward, but you know, he's been spending so much time in the midfield. We've missed him in front of goals. We've missed that. We're not. I don't know. It just seems like we've got no one crumbing at all in the forward line. You know, if Schultz is having an off game, which he has the last few weeks, we struggle.
You know, I'm sorry, Phil, but
are you going back to the Brisbane thing? You've been...
No, I'm not. I'm not, Phil. I'm actually saying, what are you doing reading anything that Muppet McDermott writes? Seriously, it's a waste of like the 5 minutes that it takes to read it. He didn't even write it himself.
I thought you were going to tell me that I was completely wrong about the 2001 Brisbane being 4-6 after 10 rounds. That could have been 9-1, but for some reason in my head, I'm saying they're 4-6, so we can come back.
That's right. People can tweet in and tell Phil that he's wrong, because like that's what we do best.
Yeah, I think the reason I'm very flat, wrong, right? The reason I feel so flat is for the first time in the last 2 and a bit years, it's the first time that I've started to just think some of, you know, there's a few things that don't seem quite right in the coaching box. And I've previously thought Ken is the Messiah, but just selections, like, you know, clearly we've been missing hardness around the ball and Archie gets dropped. You know, I understand you've got to pick the side that you think is going to win, and you know when you're picking sort of first year players, you know you're bringing a lot of inconsistency into it. But surely you got to, you know, it's all about trust. You got to back these guys in, and we're putting people like you know, Sam Gray and Kane Mitchell that are really quite vanilla, and you know what they're going to offer, but they're never going to win a game off their own boot. I don't know. I just feel a bit. You know, there's clearly been sort of in social media the last few weeks, questions asked of Michael Voss and Tyson Edwards and their contribution over the last sort of 6 months. The loss of Phil Walsh, I'm not a big believer that's huge, but certainly I think you've got to wonder why our fitness seems to have deteriorated so badly. Like, it's not even that everyone else has caught up, but you know, how many times have you seen a guy running on the wing, like Ebert, for example? It looks like he's running on the spot. Or White doesn't look anywhere near fit. half our squad just doesn't, they don't look fit, you know, they don't, they just don't look like they did last year, and it's a real worry for me, to be honest.
Well, I suppose it is something that we need to work on, and we've got this week against Melbourne in the Indigenous round at Alice.
Fitness in a week, Phil. Our...
No, you don't. Oh, and
sorry, mate. So I think you're just brushing over that comment, Alistair, but I think there's concerns, and you know, it really, as I said to you before we came on air, there's a couple of clowns on Big Footy that it's so easy to just have a crack at, you know, the coaches or this, that, and the other. And you know, you could sort of always come back from something, but in the game day threads, which are just absolute bile at the moment, and I'm pretty close to not actually going on the game day threads because of how disgusting they are. But it's hard, like, it's hard to actually have a comeback from some of the football that we're playing at the moment, I reckon.
Yep.
You just kind of, like, you know, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, and unfortunately, it's not happening. It's getting to that point where it is getting a bit dire for us. But I've been sitting back, just waiting for something to change. Something's going to happen. It's going to click, and then we're just going to go nuts. But you know, we've lost. The bottom line is three games that we're penciled in as wins, and you know, it's not looking great. It really isn't. But you know, fingers crossed we get a win against Melbourne and it gets a bit of a run on. But anyway, we've probably been speaking about the weekend for a bit too long and I'm going to get too angry. So we should probably move on to the 1990 season. What do you reckon?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
I'm happy to keep talking about the weekend, Phil.
Yeah, no, I'm getting too angry. Can you hear my voice? I've kind of got like a prepubescent voices breaking sort of thing happening at the moment.
I don't think that would surprise anyone if you're just reaching puberty now. Yeah. Judging by your muscle mass.
No, it's,
you're an evil man. People
hey,
but, you know, potentially I'm a really good-looking, muscular bloke. So.
You are good-looking.
Oh, stop it, Nick.
Apart from the tats.
Tough stickers.
1990. Talk me out.
We've got the quiz this week, and with 1990 and the Port Club, and they've got a couple of new burgers that they've just brought out. Look a bit interesting.
Crumbed lamb chops back yet?
No, I don't believe that they do, but they've got a couple of new burgers, the Mac Daddy Burger and the 1870 Burger, which is like panko crumb chicken or something like that. And we've got a burger that's got mac and cheese in it. So they've brought that out.
A Mac Daddy Burger?
Yeah.
Is that like a crisscross burger or something?
Yeah, don't know.
Is there Mac Daddy in anyway? Moving on. Sounds like a good amount of burgers.
Shiver me timbers. What happened there?
Foxy, probably should stop doing that because we did have a tweet in saying that someone farted.
it was an accident.
It's actually Nick with his little...
It honestly was an accident. Sorry, listeners. So, 1990...
Yeah, well, for the port quiz, they're giving, like, the port club's giving us away $20. And what the question is who came second in the 1990 Port Adelaide Best and Fairest? So that's the question for this week, brought to you by the Port Club. It's got, get down there. And get down there this weekend for the 25-year reunion of the 1990 Premiership. Port Adelaide vs Glenelg down at Alberton this weekend. Get down there and support the boys and... a few of the old faces will be down there. George Fiacci, our friend, will be down there as well. So, yeah, get down there, guys. But, 1990.
You get me to look at the Twitter to see the answers for those questions. I've got no idea who came second. So if you're expecting me to go, oh, someone's got it right, I've got no idea. So you're going to have to check Twitter out.
Yep, no worries. People, please tweet in your answers. You got a $20 voucher to the Port Club. After we spoke with George, and it was fantastic that George came in last week and talked to us about the AFL bid, to give his time to the Port public was just great, and we really appreciate that. But prior to George coming on, we talked about round 12, and then we came into round 13. after our loss to Glenelg. So we lost to Glenelg in round 12, and round 13 we were down at the Quagmire, which is Prospect Oval. So yeah, we were down at the Quagmire at Prospect Oval, and yeah, North Adelaide had one of the better defences in the league, but really they couldn't match the boys. Phil, what are your thoughts on the game?
What was the score out?
The score was 11 goals 10-76 Port Adelaide to 7 goals 13-55
Look, I think the thing was, you know, again, you know, North just couldn't come back from that that grand final loss, couldn't they? They're a bit more respectable this time around, but it's just rubbing their faces in the dirt a bit more. It's probably, you know, from a Port perspective, like when you look at the scores that we sort of had throughout the season, it was a lower scoring game. But, you know, it's a pretty decent win against, you know, relatively good opposition who were, you know, North probably weren't playing their best at that point in time. But, you know, we beat the grand finalists again, got a decent win. And that set us up for the rest of the season, where I'm going to say it right now, we didn't have another loss for the minor round. And of course, there was a great Port Adelaide player that's often underrated who chimed in with 3 goals in that game, and that would be Darren Smith. Outside but, Scotty Hodges.
Yes, that's true. But like the first half, North did keep with us. We did have... like they were up by 4 points at half time, and then we just kicked away with the game because they just couldn't keep up with us. They just could not keep up with us. I think we kicked like 5 goals 5 in the second half to 1 goal 4 to win by 21 points. So it wasn't a pretty game. It was actually a pretty goddamn awful game playing down at Prospect Oval. There was just a quagmire, and they were having to throw the ball up because they couldn't bounce it because it just gets stuck in the mud. But we got the win, and that's all that really mattered. Like, because all we were trying to do was just get one foot in front of the other. So that was good. And I think Dave Brown was pretty good, and the Curiosity Show was pretty good as well.
And Choco.
Oh yeah, not bad for the old Choc. Yes, Choco didn't. Since he came back in round 9, he was tearing it up. He was probably one of our most consistent players from round 9 through to the end of the season. So, yeah, Choco came back and most weeks was in the best players.
I still love Choco.
So I still love Choco. He's left an indelible mark on our club and something that we should look back on fondly. Like, there are some times that we can say, oh, the Choco years. But for the most part, he was fantastic for our club and should be revered figure. Should be a revered figure.
I've just got to say, we got a tweet from Lauren saying, boys, you get me to come online and I hear farts. So, well done, Nick.
Sorry. It was accidental.
It's fantastic. It's the boy humour. I do apologise.
We'll be classy from now on.
I was actually trying to do a different sound effect, but my finger just accidentally touched that one. So, yeah, it was just one of those technical issues that, you know, we thought were sort of gone, but, you know, back again.
We'll it'll be gone again.
Yeah. Sorry, Lauren.
All right, round 14.
Port versus Torrens.
Yeah, it was, Alistair's probably the expert at this one, to be honest with you.
It was Port Adelaide back to its offensive best. It was Port was 23 goals 7. Nice and accurate, 145 to Torrens, 11 goals, 17, 83. Played at Footy Park.
Interesting fact, that's not that interesting. 145 sounds like a pretty big score, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got to respond to that. So anyway, that was actually the equal lowest highest winning score that round. Yeah. Scores of 154, 182, 160. So, there you go. Yeah. Great fact. Remembered that all off the top of my head as well.
Those times have changed, haven't they?
They have, and we talk about it every week, but it frustrates me.
Yeah.
That's a we scored 43 points in the weekend. So
Maggie's won by, you know, 62 points against Torrens. Doggies beat South that, you know, that round by 76 points. Glenelg beat Woodville by 71. North beat West by 135.
Yeah. So we, imagine we you look at how much, and North won by 113. How much our forwards are paid these days compared to, say, 1990, and you got Wingard and Schultz missing from 20 out, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, probably getting paid 10 times as much and still...
I think more than 10 times as much, to be fair.
Yeah. Like, Hodges kicked 7 goals, won this game. Like, you just don't see 7 goals won anymore, do you? Like, if you saw it, it would be on the news.
Yeah, you see it, but it's very occasional. And you're pumped when you do see it, because it doesn't happen nearly as often anymore.
Yeah.
But look, again, like a really, really strong win, you know, to get over the line by, you know, by 10 goals. So it just amazes me how many, like, massive victories there were during that season as well. And, you know, the fact that some teams turned it around 1 minute, they're getting done by 10 goals. 6 rounds later, they're playing the same team and winning by 10. But, yeah, very, very good win. As Foxy said, Hodges on fire, as he was a lot. David Brown and Ryan Smith both chipped in with 4 goals. David Hines, Timmy Ginever, Gavin Wanganeen, 2 goals.
Steve Williams in the best again.
Indeed. Good old Stevie Williams.
Love Steve.
How can you not love Steve?
Yeah.
How can you not love the Williams? The Williams are like synonymous with Port Adelaide. It's fantastic. And they are just consistently always in the best players because they just drove themselves. They were a driven family.
It'd be great. You know what I'd love to see is it'd be good to watch this or like a DVD box set of Gavin Wanganeen highlights from the 1990 season. Because there would have been a lot of them, but it'd just be interesting to see how he played out of a back pocket. And yeah, he probably got thrown forward and on a wing from time to time, but just seeing him, you know, back in his first couple of years of football, I think just seeing him so raw just would have been awesome, I reckon. Because I can't really remember a lot of him playing, you know, it's like 25 years ago now. So, yeah, maybe that's something we can look into.
Very skinny and looks like he's about 10.
Yeah. Well, he was only 16, 17 at the time, so he was a bit of a young pup and hailing from good old Salisbury, but
we have more muscle mass than you now, though, Phil.
Dude, like, can I just say we generally get stuck into our, so I don't know why it's just turned on to me, man. I'm working off like an hour of sleep right now.
Because you made the mum joke the other week about my mum having a moustache.
Wasn't a joke though, was it, Nick? So can we go back to the normal thing? We'll pay out.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Are you all right with that?
Not really. I like it when they pick on somebody else, like rather than me. Like, just turn the focus around on, like, Phil. It's fine. Sometimes on Nick, it just doesn't matter. As long as it's not on me, I'm happy.
I'm just trying to divert attention away from me and the fart joke. turned our listeners off in droves.
It just shows a lack of class, Nick.
Yeah.
But you know, that game, just back to the game against Torrens, unfortunately Darren Smith got pants that game. He didn't have any impact whatsoever.
Not good. Oh, well, you can't be up all the time.
Yeah. Now what's our question again now? Who was the runner up in the best
in the Port Adelaide best and fairest in 1990?
1990, and you'll get a $20 voucher. So tweet in.
Tweet in, guys. If you've got any feedback or thoughts or you don't like any of Nick's fart jokes, please let us know as well. More than happy to take your feedback on board. We can even start a petition for Nick to no longer use his sound effects. We're more than happy for that as well. So,
I actually reckon you've started using a better quality sound effect, Nick, because it actually sounds a lot clearer. Because the first week that you used them, like I said, I thought we were having some more Alistair technical issues.
We were going to do a poll, weren't we? I know that was on Josh Carr. Who was the better tagger, Josh Carr or Kane Corns?
I think in fairness right now, if we did that poll, everyone's saying Kane Corns anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to say
right, give it a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll give it a few weeks. But, like, you know, your other sound effects have been pretty muted. So I'm kind of wondering whether that was a genuine sound effect or if that was just coming from yourself, Nick.
Okay. All right.
Well,
put that one to bed for now.
Ooh,
I had it stored as favourites, and then the app updated itself, and now my favourites are gone, and I'm sort of, I can't remember which ones they were. So that's why we had the technical glitch before, because it was in a different spot, and my hand brushed across to get to the that one, and it's right next to the fart.
Is it a different app though? Because it's sounding better now.
No, it's just. You just didn't turned you the have your ears, up, the wax cleared out of your ears last week?
Apparently not, man.
Apparently. Yeah. So I'll go away and just do some homework on these. So they got some of them you have to pay for, and I'm not going to be doing that. So
don't worry about doing homework on the games that we're reviewing, Nick. Just do your homework on the sound effects.
Well, that's why we got you two legends here. You're the technical experts.
That's all right.
Russell Gilbert, the goon drinking beer in the background doing the fart jokes. On Hey Hey It's Sad Day.
You're doing it well. Round 15.
Well,
not according to Lauren.
Round 15 was a massive game for the club. That was the week that the news broke, Phil.
What news is that out? Did something significant happen in 1990?
Oh, nah, nothing really significant happened. They went around and had a bit of a chat. The Port Adelaide Football Club had a bit of a chat with the AFL and said, "Oh, I think we might like to go and play with you guys. Can I go into your sandpit, please?" And it hit the media and the fit hit the Shan, and it turned into a bit of an uproar and everybody hated us, and that's the way we like it. So, but the first game and the first opportunity that the players and the club had to have a significant response was on the footy field, and it was against West Adelaide down at Alberton. And let's just say Scotty Hodges and co. decided to put them to the sword. It was a pretty emphatic win by the boys. And, Scotty Hodges just rolled up with a lazy 14. Which was the start of a pretty big month for the big fella. So, yeah, we won 27 goals, 16, 178 to 10 goals, 10, 70. With 14
goals. Just 14
goals.
How many times have you heard this at that game? Hodges! I had to do that really quiet. That sounded pathetic, but I've got a sick son. I'll get in trouble if I wake him up. But I love Scott Hodges. I love that man. 14 goals. That is just unheard of now.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. He outscored West Adelaide.
That he did.
Yeah, when he was unstoppable, wasn't he, Scotty? He's such a big body and, you know, fantastic kick when he was on, and which was more often than not, really. Like, you know, you look at how many times he scored big bags this season. He was just a, you know, it's great that he played for Port Adelaide because, you know, he was just such a reliable fella. You always knew what you're going to get out of him, you know what I mean? Smithy was a bit up and down sometimes, I reckon, Phil. But Hodges, you always knew that he was a threat when he walked out onto the park.
Look, you know, you don't kick 153 goals in a season. And you know, as George Fiarchi was saying last week, this the quality of players in the SANFL in 1990 was immense. So he wasn't playing against, you know, second-rate opposition. He was playing against some very, very good players, and a lot who, you know, the following year were you know, starting some very good careers in the AFL. So he was a jet. I love him. And, I wonder how he would have went had Port Adelaide, you know, got into the AFL when they should have in 91, you know, if he would be, you know, remembered in a better light from his, an AFL standpoint. I reckon he undoubtedly would have.
But yeah.
I remember the old, back in the day, there was the, the banners in the crowd, and used to have the Hodges, Modra, poor man's Hodges. What do you reckon about that? Brilliant.
Modra was a brilliant player. A lot of respect for Modra.
No Hodges though, yeah.
What did he kick 14 on Sus one day, didn't he? Modra?
Yeah. I don't particularly want to talk about the Crows, to be honest with you.
He was a brilliant player. It's a bit rough to, say he was a poor man's Hodges. I thought he was a fantastic player.
But that's maybe how Phil reveres Scotty.
I liked Modra. I thought he was good.
But in that game, it was Port Adelaide had everything to play for. Everyone's eyes were on Port Adelaide, and the boys came out to play. We kicked 5 goals before West Adelaide even scored, and we shell shocked them. And Rowan Smith booted 2 goals for the team, and so did Scotty Hodges. And about 14-15 minutes in, Simon Tregenza converted before West Adelaide managed to salvage something from, which was a pretty big train wreck pretty early on. So
they came back though. It was only 3 goals in it at half time, wasn't it?
Yep, 8-9 yep. 6-4, and then Port Adelaide kicked a casual 13 goals 3 in the third term.
Whitewashed them.
Yes, I reckon at that point it was 13-3 to 1 goal. So I'm pretty sure at that point the game was won.
It's hard to fathom a 13 goal quarter, isn't it? And goal every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You remember what our the Hawthorn first quarter or the first quarter against Richmond in the elimination final. Remember how that just felt like it was just goal after goal.
Yeah, it was like 8 goals, wasn't it?
8 goals, yeah. Yeah. Imagine another 5. God, what you wouldn't give for a 13 goal quarter now from Port.
And an 8 goal quarter from Scotty Hodges.
Actually, I'd take it back a step and go a 13 goal game from Port. At the moment. Would be good.
Yeah. We'll it's true.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, I guess. The wheel turns, it always turns. We have had our up and now probably just a little bit of a down patch for a while, but we'll be back.
We'll be right. I'm still waiting for someone to tweet in the answer to the question that I don't actually know the answer as to who was the runner-up in the 1990 Best and Fairest for Port, because you'll win $20 voucher and you can try it for the Port Club and you can try one of those cool Mac Daddy burgers.
Well, so some names, because I genuinely have no idea of the answer as well, but, there'd be, just looking at who we've had in the best, there'd be Steve Williams would be up there. I don't know, did Mark come in a little bit late, maybe?
I would say so, late. Without knowing the answer.
Wanganeen sort of always seemed to be up around the best. Who else do you reckon?
Darren Smith.
No. No, he was a good team man, but I don't know that he would have polled a lot.
Rowan Smith seemed to be having a pretty good year at that point as well.
He did, yeah. You got to get votes if you're kicking 14 goals and 7 goals week after week as well, don't you?
Greg Phillips, George Fiarchi,
Simon Tregenza, Bruce Abernathy.
Northeast.
Yeah, there's...
Poll a lot, but...
Who's that?
Northeast didn't really poll a lot, but another player that probably would have polled well in the best team man or the coach's award or whatever, but maybe not in the, the best and fairest so much.
David Hutton. David Brown. How good were those players, man?
Very good.
That was a pretty decent team. So if you know the answer, send us a tweet. I'll then confirm with Al, and if you're right, you get a $20 voucher. There's a thing called Google as well, so maybe use the Google and see if you can get the answer there.
That's where I'd be going.
That's right. And really, isn't it? Well, Port Fan Radio, we're giving to the masses. We're giving awards and not awards, but prizes. I think Rick and New Vision gave away a $100 voucher to the Port Megastore and to Mr. Speaker from Big Footy. And then he also gave away 2 locker room tickets, not locker room, the RAA lounge. he went with a couple of guys that had subscribed, and he took them to the game on the weekend with Macca and Rick. So there's prizes here on Port Fan Radio. So, and we're supported by some great organisations such as the Port Club and New Vision. So yeah, they always get around them, guys, and support the people that are helping us provide content to you guys.
And it's, and you've only got to listen to the last 40 minutes to see the quality of content that's out there as well.
How we haven't been picked up by a commercial radio station yet, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm here for. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a job at, you know, one of these seedy little, you know, country radio stations.
I was kind of, I was waiting for the phone call from Triple M when Andrew Jarman had his little comment, but they brought him back. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I'd be doing the rush
hour. How does that work? Seriously. That's deplorable.
Oh, it was pretty funny, I thought.
I just can't believe that it's a pre-recorded and it still made the cut.
I know, that's what I can't believe.
I missed it, but I was seeing on Twitter a few people commenting, did Andrew Jarman just say this? And I'm like, nah, surely not. That was, yeah. I found it amusing myself, but you wouldn't have liked to have been him at that point. But yes. Yeah,
so not at all.
Waiting for the, and if someone does tweet through the correct answer and they win and they do try one of those burgers, I want a review.
Yep.
Because I'll eat that burger and then I'll go to the gym and I'll turn that burger into muscle. So then Nick can't pay me out for having girl arms anymore.
Well, you might go from 11-year-old to a 12-year-old physique.
You guys are harsh, man.
Nah, you're not like that, Phil. You're a lot bigger than what you used to be.
Yeah, it's because I drink too much beer and eat too much. Wish I was bigger from a muscle perspective anyway.
Well, we've got... That's all right. Well, the final round that we're going to be reviewing this week is Port Adelaide versus Woodville. Down at Woodville, the score ended up 22 goals, 14, 146 to 16 goals, 14, 110, with a paltry 5,000 people down at Woodville Oval. Probably 4,500 of them were Port Adelaide supporters because it wasn't too far to go. But, Hodges was in the best. He got into a pretty rich vein of form at this time of year and kicked a lazy 10.
So 24 from 2 weeks.
Yep.
Not bad.
He goes 46 from 4. This four-week period from round 15 through to 19, 46 goals for Scotty Hodges. He just goes bang. He took this AFL bid to heart and put the team on his back and rode us to victory.
Even Woodville scored 110, 16 goals, 14. It's a lot of shots at goal, isn't it?
For a losing it is. Side.
What they say? What's the stat now? The first team to 100 points wins 98% of the time, or something?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not quite that high, but it is pretty high.
It was pretty high. Definitely, it was in the 90s. What I got told, but the person was pretty drunk at the time. So,
just yeah. Drunken mate. We'll take it. We'll take it as gospel. But now, look, I mean, to be honest, that's the win against Woodville. It's a bit of a meh sort of win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Woodville weren't quality.
No, they're not anymore either.
No, they were never quality. But Hodges again, 10 goals. What a legend that bloke was. Decent enough win. Can't complain.
Did what we needed to do, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
Around Port Adelaide at the moment. All you could really do was keep winning and winning while kicking big scores in pretty attractive sort of footy, really, when you're scoring that heavily week after week. Like, we scored something like, I think it was 178 points, then 146, and then 164. And then the next week was 222. So in 4 weeks, obviously on the back of Scotty Hodges, they're massive scores, like 34 goals the next week, and this week,
we're not talking about next week yet.
No, I'm just saying 164.
No one's going
to listen. Yes, they will, because there's 4 weeks that we go through. Just massive, massive totals. And I know we say it every week, and we harp on about it, but like with the benefit of hindsight, knowing what football's become now with the Frios and the Sydneys and that sort of real compressing sort of, you know, suffocating tactics, you know, it would have been great to sort of watch that footy knowing where it's gone to these days, you know what I mean? Just so free-flowing and very little attention to sort of that team defence that happened so much. Now, obviously, you had Port Adelaide won a lot of flags based on that hard defensive element of their game, but not the sort of forward defence, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't see Smithy running into the you know, his own 50-metre arc and laying tackles and that. He'd just be standing at the 50 arc with his hands on his hips waiting for the ball to come down, you know what I mean?
But looking pretty damn cool doing it as well.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just a different style of game, and it was just so, so cool to watch.
Entertaining.
As a kid.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
You look at it, with round 16, Hodges had already kicked 92 goals for the year in round 16, and then he ends up kicking another 61. That was pretty good maths by me without a calculator.
It was.
After a few beers. That game, Gavin Wanganeen, casual 32 possessions. And for Woodville as well, Alan Jakovic, 7 goals, 5. So, you know, you had
11 shots
full forward at one end and you know, 12 shots for the other full forward, kicking 7. So, yeah. It still, again, a bit of a meh sort of result, 30, you know, 6 goals against Woodville, but would have been an entertaining game to watch at the same time.
We had a pretty good slow start as well. Like, they were actually up by a goal in that first quarter, and then like the second quarter, we let them, I think, score 1 goal, and we kicked 6 goals for the second quarter. So yeah, sorry, 8 goals for the second quarter. 8 goals for the second quarter. So, yeah, we just took it away from them. But we did have a slow start. But it was showing that we were able to still get the wins, that this whole furor that was going around the club at the time wasn't having an effect on the players. And it might have had a positive effect because they were able to still back up and get wins, even though there was that immense scrutiny on the group. So, yeah, that was...
Being a fullback in 1990... playing on Scott Hodges, you'd have packed yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and
you would
have. If you weren't playing on Hodges, you might have been playing on Fidge or Jakovic. They were just smashing it. A mate of mine, when Hodges went to Seton Ramblers for a while, do you remember that?
Yes.
A mate of mine was fullback for Salisbury North, and he stood on Hodges, and his old man, he was packing himself before the game thinking he was going to get like 20 goals kicked on him. And his dad printed out a picture of Hodges and put it under his pillow, so when he's sleeping the night before his hand, he's pulled it out. Scotty Hodges, he kicked 4-4 on him, so it wasn't too bad. I reckon he kicked about 3 out on the full. Anyway.
Ah, fantastic.
That's the wrap up for the 1990 season for today, and we'll kick back in next week and go from a round. Is it round 17 onwards?
Yeah, round 17 through to 19. No, through to 20. Yeah, 17 through to 20.
And I'm going to do a spoiler here. We win all of them.
And oh, thank...
comfortably.
Thanks, Phil. Hopefully we'll get some listeners next week. But, yeah, it's great.
Just off topic, how many out on the full did we kick on the weekend? Was it just me or was it...
43.
No.
God, I just made that up, but you sound like...
But it was heaps, wasn't it?
It was heaps. It was heaps. It was one of the most frustrating games to watch. I was shattered. Still am shattered.
Hey,
I will continue to be shattered.
I want to bring some positive news about Port Adelaide that's just been released by the club. Young Jarman Impey has signed for another 3 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is good.
I didn't think he had as bad a game as what a lot of people said he did. I thought he was, you know, not our worst.
Definitely not our worst.
And what I like about him is he's got that real energy and that real zip about him. You know, you just feel like a little bit like Jasper in a lot of ways, where you just sort of feel like something's going to happen. And sort of, you know, now I reckon Jasper's up the ante. Sort of 80% of what he does is great now, whereas it wasn't ever that high. And I reckon Jarman's going to be the same sort of player, where early in his career he'll make a lot of errors and get a lot of haters, but I think he's going to be a really valuable pickup for us, and so flexible as well. Like, you know, playing on the small forwards at the moment, but you can see him doing the sort of Chad Wingard role or rotating onto a wing or something like that. Like, I forget what game it was last year. It escapes me now, but I just remember him picking up a ball with one hand on at about the half-back flank, picked it up with one hand, took a couple of bounces, and kicked a goal, and it was just one of the most amazing pieces of play. And I just, when I saw that, I was like, man, this kid is going to be special.
Really, he is as well. I remember when he was drafted, everyone was like, who? Like, he wasn't predicted to have been taken where he was. And I remember reading on Big Footy, and, you know, I'm pretty sure a few people had sort of questioned the decision. I had no idea who he was. So I just went with everyone else and said, yeah, poor choice. But he's looking good. And, you know, he does have a bit of flair about him. And I think when he gets a bit more confidence in his game, you know, he's going to be a pretty special player, I reckon.
When he was picked up, there was some mock drafts that were going around that said Port Adelaide were dead keen on Jarman Impey because he fitted what they were looking for. And that's why they were happy to trade their first round pick and get that kind of later pick when they picked up Pollock, because they knew that the guy that they were coveting in Jarman Impey would be available later on. So that's why they were happy to make that trade, because the guy that they really wanted was going to be available later in the draft. From all reports, that could be a fabrication of people saying that, but the player that Port Adelaide really were targeting was Jarman Impey in that draft. But sometimes you get surprises as well. Like I know that Port Adelaide
was the year that Richo left, and Kenny said Richo's given me his word that he won't, you know, infringe on what he was aware of with our draft, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He was a man of his word.
Yeah. I like Richo. I miss him at the club.
Oh, you're right, Nick.
Yeah, just a bit glum. Yeah. Port Adelaide makes me glum when they're not winning.
Yes. Yeah. My wife doesn't like it when Port Adelaide's not winning, because I'm not a happy man.
No wife does.
Well, like I said, you both know my wife. Not know her, but you know her, and you would have known her as a stupid Crow supporter earlier in our relationship, but I changed that because I'm awesome.
Yes, I do remember that, Naomi and her being those stupid Crow supporters. So not sure whether Sean's been able to change Naomi over, but
she goes to a few games now, so I reckon she won't admit it, whereas Kate will.
Do you know, here's a bit of trivia, that I had a bet with Naomi once about 10 years ago. Whoever lost at a Port and the Crows would have to wash the other person's car, and Port won, and she washed my car.
Nice.
There you go.
Fantastic. Speaking of other stuff AFL related, Mick Malthouse, untenable.
What about him?
Got the boot. He pushed himself out the door, mate. He went on that media. He goes, well, I want to go. I can't be stuffed working for this club. I want to go out. So let's just make a complete mockery of their club and Stephen Trigg, which was awesome, and just have an explosive interview and give him no choice but to sack me, and I get paid $500,000 for the rest of the season.
Do you know, I actually didn't know that he'd been sacked.
What?
No, I didn't. Honestly, I didn't know.
What, just then?
Yeah, until I'd read the comment that he said about Trigg, but obviously I didn't scroll down the article where it said he'd been sacked. So thanks for that breaking news, Al. That's great.
That breaking news from 10 hours ago.
Yeah, breaking news on Port Fan Radio.
Well, he got sacked ages ago. I was at work.
So, like, this morning?
Oh, Sarvo.
Midday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was early-ish in the day.
As soon as I heard the CEO or whoever he is come out and say, you know, they've got the full backing of the board, I thought, oh, here we go. He's only got a couple of weeks on him then.
It's stupid, though. Like, it honestly it was so unprofessional from an outsider perspective. It was kind of like the way Port were doing things a few years ago when we were looking like a bit of a rabble. You had, like, Stephen Trigg coming out and probably saying things in the media that he shouldn't have about Malthouse. But, you know, used to that with Stephen Trigg. And then Malthouse has his interview. It was quite entertaining, to be honest. But he was, yeah, he was always going to lose his job. It was kind of, like you said, Al, it was almost like he was daring them to. He left them no choice. But he was gone anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it? It was just like a Jim's Tea Party, Carlton, the last few weeks, wasn't it? Like some of the stuff that Malthouse was saying, and then him and Trigg having directly, you know, conflicting comments in the press and stuff like that. And yeah, it was always going to end badly for someone.
And it's funny though that it was all played
Teflon,
out. In
the press. Teflon Trigg comes out unscathed again.
Isn't it great though that ever since he made that comment about Port Adelaide,
yeah,
his career's kind of went to shit, hasn't it? He's earning a lot more money than what any of us are.
So, I don't know that he's got a lot of respect though, has he? Like you speak to any Port supporter and they sort of have a bit of a chuckle. Crow supporters are glad to see the back of him, and from what I understand. And not a lot of Carlton supporters are particularly fond of him either. So I don't know where his friends come from.
No. Interesting times.
We've got, just quickly, we've got like a couple of minutes for someone to go on the Google and give us the answer to the 1990 second runner-up in the Best and Fairest. And you get a $20 voucher for the Port Club. You got like 2 minutes. Is someone going to come in at the end?
Come on, guys. Otherwise, we're going to have to leave it to social media again.
Maybe Lauren switched off now because of Nick's fart jokes.
No, I think me and Lauren have gone beyond that, to be honest. I think she understands it's just a joke.
Come on, someone. We need to give this away.
We want you to go down to the club and get yourself one of those fantastic new burgers, the Mac Daddy burger, the 1870 burger. There's some beautiful things down there. On Mondays and Tuesdays, they have 2-for-1 cheeseburgers. There's burgers everywhere. There's sticky ribs, but there's no crumbed lamb chops. No crumbed lamb chops. Zero.
Next time you're in Adelaide, we should do the show from there one night.
That'd be good.
2 weeks ago.
And we'll say, like, you know, how, like, Ruin did Stuart. Come down and have a chat to us and that, and the place is packed, and, you know, we might actually, 2 or 3 of our listeners might come in.
Yeah, no, because, They'll be everywhere, mate.
Not only that, but if you win the prize, you actually get to cash in on it straight away. You just head 10 meters to get your burger. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, so true. So
I feel like a burger right now.
You've got a bit of a hanking.
Probably a little bit late now for me to run off.
I think the kitchen closes about 2 minutes, I think.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work for me, is it?
Hey, clearly not. Hey, guys, did you know that this week or this month there's a May special with Jackson Trengove down at New Vision? That if you actually go down to New Vision and give them a call, if you've had your home loan for 3 years or more, that you're probably giving away money. Because New Vision have the ability to assist you and guide you into maybe refinancing your home, and you can save between $300 and $700 a month on your monthly repayments. And that could be on a $500,000 home or loan, you could save up to $7,500 a year, or over 10 years, $75,000. So give the guys at New Vision a call. They'll be able to help you out.
Better in your pocket than the banks, isn't it, Al?
That's right. And that's what New Vision does. They're trying to help out the little guy to get their finances in order and save them a bit of money. So, yeah,
give Rick and Mel a call down at New Vision.
And if Jackson Trent goes behind it, I'm behind it.
Hey, that's exactly right.
I saw Trengo limping off. That was a sad sight, wasn't it?
Do you know what annoyed me is? He was limping for about 2 minutes before. It's like, is someone getting him off? Is he going to get off?
But I don't get that, because if you're that injured, you take yourself off, don't you?
Yeah, but like, that frustrated me. And then, you know, they're holding the man decision against Revolt. It's like, well, he couldn't do anything else, but he was limping for like 2 minutes before.
Yeah.
It's like, man, he can't walk. Either get off yourself, or someone should come and say, "Mate, off you go." Yeah. It was frustrating, and I think to be honest, that goal, that was there's any little inkling of hope.
That's right.
Was done after that.
It's gone.
That I think, you know, we went from, you know, 19 points down to, you know, over 4 goals, and after that it was finished.
Imagine if we lose this week. This week is no certainty by a long shot.
No, it's not at all. It's not, and I don't even know. I'm not putting a bet on. I'm not touching my sports bet account.
I would actually say that we would go in as the underdog to this game. I mean, our form.
Then I will put a bet on.
Is woeful. Mm.
Yeah, we haven't been playing great footy, and this week is a big test. And let's just see.
Struggle against this mob as well.
Because they play such unfashionable, boring, disgraceful Sydney football. Sorry, yeah, Paul Roos, horrible, but it's horrible to watch. And I just get so bored by it. It's just so boring to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the way footy should be played. It's not what people pay good money for. I mean, you can't expect the AFL to do anything about it. You know, it's one of those things that, like, it has over the years, it just evolves. But while it wins games, coaches will keep trying to employ that style of tactics, and it's just absolute crap.
Garbage. Yeah. But do you know, I suppose if they...
I've still got to say, a couple of weeks ago I was saying, like, I've got this really cool joke that I want to tell. We don't have time tonight, though, do we?
Nah.
No, we don't. Definitely not. It's your awesome. Jokes are so bad.
Nah, save it for next week. It could give our listeners something to look forward to.
It's the best joke you'll ever hear.
Mm.
And if people hear about this joke, then more people will listen, because they'll be like, that was awesome.
Or I'll tell your friends, listeners, you've heard it. The best joke you've ever heard. That's a massive call.
I'm calling this right now. The joke, I'll say it next week. I need 5 minutes. I need 5 minutes next week. It will be.
We'll schedule 5 minutes in. Yep.
Trust me.
Well, I've got the best joke ever, and his name's Phil.
You really have built it up a lot, Phil. Like,
it doesn't matter.
I'm expecting, like, sore cheeks and sore, like, I won't have to do any planks or crunches that night, because they'll be that sore.
Listen to you, little gym boy. I'll say this right now. If I say this joke at the start of the show, next 55 minutes you're laughing, show's finished, and we've just wasted a show. So I'll say it at the end, so then you can just laugh through the night. It is that good. It is that good.
You're putting it on a pedestal, my friend.
I'm all for it.
And yeah. The thing is, I'll back it up with the delivery of said joke. It is that good. You will. Anyway,
I got serious doubts about it. But look, you know, go for it, mate. Absolutely, it's your cred on the line now. But you know,
never had any cred, mate. So
never been an issue. Really has it?
I could just slip back into oblivion. But no, I'm dead set. This is it. Yeah, best joke you'll ever hear. You'll be in absolute hysterics, and
maybe we can tweet that on social media. This is the place to be if you want to hear the best joke ever.
Oh, for sure.
I guarantee you'll hear this joke. You'll repeat it to 20 people, minimum.
What are you willing to give me if I don't?
You don't know what I'm willing to do, Nick.
Well, I think it'll be it'll be a big weekend of footy. I reckon that most of the guys should get down to Alberton for the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Premiership against the Bays. Get down, grab a feed, have a couple of frothies, as Phil likes to refer to them as, and support the boys.
I'll be there.
And sounds good. And then hopefully we get there. No, I shall not be. I'll be there in spirit. Someone have a beer for me, please. Yeah, and then tomorrow night there's no Magpie show because of the SANFL state game that was on the weekend. I don't even know the results. I don't even care. And then Thursday night we've got the Port Adelaide preview of the D's game up in Alice Springs with Macca and Rick and a special guest. Can the boys bounce back? And it's on from 8 till late on Port Fan Radio.
Sounds great. More content than you can poke a stick at.
That's exactly right. Well, next week we're going to discuss round 17 through 20.
What else are we going to have on that show?
Oh, and we're going to have this stupid joke. No, I reckon it's a ridiculous joke.
The world's best joke.
The world's best joke.
Is it better than Kerry O'Keefe's frog in a bank joke?
Don't know what it is, but yes, it is.
When the show finishes, Google Kerry O'Keefe frog in a bank joke.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm not going to do it.
No, do it. It's the best joke you'll hear.
But I'm not going to do it. So I'll just say yep. I'll Google that as soon as we finish. But best joke you'll ever hear. 5 minutes of your time. You'll love it. And I will be a celebrity.
Yeah, no worries.
Great. I can't wait. Yeah. Can't lose, really, can we?
No, we can't. We can lose a couple of listeners, the two listeners that we've got at the moment, but
I don't think there's any danger of that happening. Lauren's gone. She's not coming back.
She didn't like the fart joke. So.
We'd love to hear from Lauren again just to let us know that she's still there.
Nice.
Tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds blowing in the wind. All right, guys. Well, thanks very much for the coming on tonight. Thank you for all of our listeners. The quiz has not gone off. We have not had tweets. So if you want to tweet or send us a message via Facebook.
Tweets to that. Come on. We've had tweets. There's been tweets. Yeah.
How many tweets were there tonight?
I can't even count.
Too many.
So two.
Five or six. There was a few, but no one can get that answer.
Mm.
So,
and they pretty much, if they let me take care of the competition, I would have just agreed with anything they said because I don't know the answer myself. So they could have won $20 for doing nothing, but unlucky.
All right.
Is that it?
That is it. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. And if you've got any thoughts or feedback, please hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Get ready for the big joke. Love you, Al. Love you, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Thanks.